Well, it is my pleasure to welcome back to the program this morning our lone representative to the United States Congress, Cynthia Lummis. Cynthia, welcome back.
Thank you, Dave. It's wonderful to be home.
It is always a pleasure to have you on. And I know every time you're home and you have an opportunity, you come in and visit with our listeners, and we thank you for that. You have had a full slate of things on your plate now for a while with the big push in Washington being to deal with the deficit, deal with the debt ceiling, and deal with really coming up with a budget that will work to keep this country's head above water. And it's not been an easy road to hoe because there have been an awful lot of ideas out there, an awful lot of, we were talking in the break, an awful lot of rhetoric, and not a whole lot yet that has been accomplished to make these cuts a reality. Some good proposals, but it's kind of like when Gov Dave asked everybody in the state to cut back 5%, and everybody said, oh, yeah, that'll work, that's great. Oh, but you don't mean me, do you? Well, we're hearing that out of Congress now. So you've come on this morning to talk with us a little bit about that process, and you were telling me to ask our listeners for some input.
I really would like some feedback from your listeners about what we should get in exchange for raising the debt ceiling. Number one, we have to raise the debt ceiling sometime this year because we've already spent the money that is coming due. It's like having a credit card bill that just arrived. The money's been spent, the bill has arrived, and it's time to pay it. So we need to do two things. We need to pay the bill, which means raise the debt ceiling, and we need to cut up the credit card simultaneously. So my question for your listeners this morning is, what ideas do they have to cut up the credit card? Now, as your listeners know, we passed a continuing resolution that gets us through the rest of this fiscal year with regard to spending, and that cut roughly $33 billion out of the top line of the budget. We also passed the Paul Ryan budget, now what I would call the House budget, which sets the blueprint for spending that we're going to be working through. That blueprint includes cutting discretionary spending, cutting mandatory spending, and reforming entitlements, specifically Medicare and Medicaid. It would make Medicaid a block grant to the states, and it would reform Medicare for anyone under the age of 55. So everyone 55 and older, if you're listening, this does not affect you one iota. Nothing will change. But for your listeners under age 54, there will be something called premium support. There will be money from the federal government directly to you, to the consumer of healthcare services. So you can decide whether in your elderly years you need a diabetes treatment regimen or you need an arthritis treatment regimen, and it allows you to tailor to an extent the plan to meet your specific healthcare needs. It will provide more money for low-income people and more money for unhealthy people than it will for the healthy and the wealthy. But that reform is necessary to save Medicare. Medicare goes broke in 9 years.
The way we're headed now, it does.
That's right. Exactly right. And so we need to prevent it from going broke. That is, save it for people under age 55 while preserving it for people over age 55. So that is the, those are the main elements of the Ryan budget. It also includes some tax reform to make our taxes more in line with those of foreign countries. So we no longer lose some of our big employers to countries that charge less corporate tax than we do. Those are that's a thumbnail sketch of what's in the bill. So that has passed. Mm-hmm. Now we're out on the Easter recess. When we go back, next item on the agenda will be the debt ceiling. How much to increase it, mm-hmm. and what to get in exchange. How do we cut up the credit card? Is it a balanced budget amendment to the U.S. Constitution? Is it mandatory caps on spending that Congress cannot exceed? Is it, as what I have suggested to John Boehner, is that we just extend the debt ceiling till the middle of September when we have all the budget bills done, when the appropriations bills, the actual Medicaid block grant implementation bill, the actual Medicare reform bill, and the tax code revisions. Hang them all on the debt ceiling. And so the Senate would be left with two alternatives. One, come up with their own ideas, which Harry Reid and his colleagues have not done, or let the Gang of Six, as they're called in the Senate, come up with an alternative working with the president. Otherwise, they risk either shutting down the government and defaulting on the debt, or both, come October. I know that that's a high-stakes strategy, but the Senate so far this year under the leadership of Harry Reid has not been responding with alternatives that we can negotiate once the House passes a bill. And we're just going to have to force them.
All right. Well, let's take a listener call. You're on with Cynthia Lummis.
Yes, good morning, Representative and Dave.
Morning.
Thanks for your explanation of the Ryan bill, Cynthia. And I've seen him at town hall meetings in his home state last night on TV, and he was catching a lot of flack. There was a lot of protesters with signs. Would you happen to have a feel if those were actual constituents of his, or were they planned?
Paul Ryan is conducting 18 town hall meetings over the course of this congressional recess. He had, by noon yesterday, conducted 8, and he was just going into his 9th out of 18. The national press has been following his town hall meetings because he is the architect of the Republican strategy. And no one knows it better than Paul Ryan. No one articulates it better than Paul Ryan. So the national press has been following him. Because of that, I suspect that protesters have been brought in from elsewhere or have come from elsewhere to attempt to disrupt or to display a great deal of dissatisfaction that may not actually exist within his district. Because when I was talking to Paul Ryan yesterday at noon, he said that once he had a chance to explain how especially this Medicare reform works, that people seem to leave satisfied. Now, it sounds like some of the meetings that you saw were of a different character. So that may have been just last night. The opposition was getting organized enough to appear in a sort of a protest vein at his town hall meeting.
Yes. Well, my main concern was that they didn't push him into weakening his stance. And when you talk to him, and you yourself, hang in there. The stakes are high, as you mentioned, but this country has been pushed into a terribly dangerous corner. And I hope that you and people like Paul Ryan can help bring this thing back.
No, thank you so much. Paul Ryan is an absolute star in Congress, an absolute star. I hope that he will seek higher office someday. He's only 41 years old, has very young families from Janesville, Wisconsin, just smart as a whip and very principled in the way that he has approached this. And something that I think is of note, especially with regard to Medicare, under the Obamacare law, there is a panel that will decide what health care you will get as a senior on Medicare. And there will be limits imposed by that panel, depending on what the panel thinks the nation can afford. Paul Ryan's approach, and now the Republican House Republicans' approach, is that we will allow you, and you should be allowed as an individual, to make those decisions and determinations for yourself. As I said earlier, the less healthy and the less wealthy will have more money to use than the healthy and the wealthy. So it has some of those elements. Thank you very much, caller, and I appreciate your support.
You're on the air. Good morning.
Good morning, Congressman. Does Washington regard the Tea Party as something positive? And how do you view the freshmen that are coming in? And the mood of Washington when it becomes the, reflecting back on the 2010 election and then looking forward to the 2012 election. And the things we need to do is to curb spending is an immigration bill, an energy policy. If you could comment on those two things. Thank you.
All right. Thanks for your call.
Thank you. I view the Tea Party in a very positive light. As do most members of the Republican conference, as does John Boehner. And I think that's important to note, because Speaker Boehner has been accused by Harry Reid and Democrat leaders of having been painted in the corner by the Tea Party, and he really doesn't support the Tea Party, and how can he keep his freshman Tea Partiers in line? John Boehner is supportive of the principles of the Tea Party and of the Tea Party affiliated members of the Republican conference. These freshmen are good, solid, smart, articulate spokesmen for and women for what the American people are thinking right now. It's amazing how reflective they are of the views that I heard when I was out doing town hall meetings before the election. This is a very solid, principled group of people, and they're not bounding off in extreme directions, as people like Chuck Schumer would like to say. These are thoughtful, good people. I'm very impressed with the freshmen and very pleased that they are part of our larger Republican debate. With regard to energy, you're going to see the Natural Resources Committee's work product come to the floor of the House next week. And it will be legislation that will reflect our desire to open up more of our domestic oil for production. That bill will be on the House and a companion bill the week to follow. So these next 2 weeks, you're going to see energy front and center on the agenda of the U.S. House. And the other issue is immigration that you mentioned. I know of no clear piece of legislation that will come to the floor this year that it is a reasonable response to our immigration problem. I wish I could tell you otherwise, but I don't know of anyone percolating out there among the pieces of legislation that I've seen that are likely to come up this calendar year.
Morning, you're on with Representative Lummis.
Good morning, Representative. I have an idea on the budget that I think may balance it in a few years with no spending cuts, no tax increases.
I'm all ears.
Freeze all federal spending at the 2010 dollar levels. Do away with percentages and say whatever number of dollars you got in 2010, the federal spending will be frozen at that level for the next 10 years, and freeze federal hiring so that the small number of federal employees who are actually critical can be replaced by transfers from the millions of federal employees that are superfluous, and not allow them to hire any more federal employees until the number gets down to somewhere near a reasonable level. And I'll take your answer off air. Thank you.
Thanks for your call. Good idea.
Well, your idea on hiring is so good that I've stolen it. I have a bill called the Federal Workforce Reduction Act that freezes federal hiring and then allows the number of federal employees to decline over time by attrition. It provides that for every two federal employees that retire, only one can be rehired. And that would, as the caller suggested, allow transfers among agencies to reduce the size of the federal employment base, which grew dramatically over the first 2 years of the Obama administration. We also are attempting to actually roll back spending, because if we froze spending at 2010 levels, we would be freezing them at an all-time high, an unsustainably high level. So we're actually trying to reduce it down to 2008 levels and then holding firm on those numbers. So the caller's right on target. Thank you very much.
Morning. You're on with Representative Lummis.
Hey, Cynthia. This is Steve in Cheyenne.
Hey.
I'm just calling about the Republican plan to cut $100 billion out of the budget, and that was chopped down to $66 billion because it was only half of the year or part of the year. We ended up with a $38 billion cut, which the Congressional Budget Office actually scored at $300 million. And I'm thinking that the Republican Party ran on the plan of cutting $100 billion out of this budget, and that didn't happen. We got rolled when we went to the White House. I'm thinking $100 billion is like cutting 2 cents, 2.5 cents out of every dollar we spend. It's nothing. So, I mean, how are we need to just stop spending, vote no on the debt ceiling increase, put a bill in Congress to pay the interest on the debt and pay off everything else after that. I mean, we've been downgraded by Standard & Poor's. And just like your comments.
All right. Thanks for your call.
Well, Steve, you're yet another of Dave's really articulate and wise callers, so thanks for your input. You're right about Standard & Poor's having given a negative outlook on U.S. Treasuries. Timothy Geithner is trying to downplay that as no big deal. It is a huge deal, and so we have to pay attention to that. We also need to get to that $100 billion number yet this year, meaning we said that we would do it in a year. Cut $100 billion. Our first bite at the apple in these first few months have only gotten us part of the way. In the budget or the appropriations bills that we pass in September, we have to get the rest of the way to that $100 billion. And he's absolutely right. In order to meet our pledge to the American people, we have to finish the job in the appropriations bills that take effect in October.
We will continue with Representative Cynthia Lummis in the Morning Zone. Invite your calls and your comments. 1-888-503-6500. Toll free or 307-632-6500 or 632-3323.
You're in the Morning Zone on AM 650 KGAB.
Cheyenne resident Paul Howard on Flying Cheyenne.
The old business adage that time is money is true. I can either spend half a day on the road and waiting at DIA or fly directly from Cheyenne hassle-free. There really is no comparison. Fly out of Cheyenne, easy to use, free parking, no lines, so when I get off the plane, I really am home.
What else could you want? For more info on the benefits of flying American Eagle or Great Lakes Airlines out of Cheyenne, go to flycheyenne.net. Friday Night Live is back, May 6th at the historic Atlas Theater. Headliner is Brian Kellen. Opening act is Eugene Kinney, both director of Comedy Works in Denver. Doors open at 8. Comedy starts at 9 p.m. Cash bar courtesy of Vino's Wine and Spirits. Tickets are $20 in advance, $25 at the door, and are available at our studios, 1912 Capitol Avenue, Suite 300, or by phone with Visa or MasterCard at 632-4400, and with cash or check at Vino's Wine and Spirits. Friday Night Live at the historic Atlas Theater, Friday, May 6th. Get your tickets today. For more info, log on to this station's website.
AM 650 KGAB. Evening 7 till 9 on Cheyenne's number one news talk radio, AM 650, KGAB, and KGAB.com.
You can look great and see great. The Eye Care Clinic and Optical are proud that their optical department has the latest fashions and trends in eyewear, including frames, lenses, and contacts. Come see their latest sunglasses like Bollé and Serengeti, available in prescription or non-prescription. Other top brands are Oakley and Maui Jim. For women, check out the hot styles of Guess, Tora, and Vera Bradley. For men, the stylish, durable Flex Flames are a top choice. You'll always get great eye care and the most fashionable eyewear from the Eye Care Clinic and Optical, located in the Murray Office Park on Yellowstone, with doctors and staff who care.
This is a Fox News alert. I'm Ron Flatter. President Obama calls it silliness. The debate over whether he was really born an American. That's why the White House issued a copy today of his long-form birth certificate saying he was born in Hawaii.
Over the last 2.5 years, I have watched with bemusement. I've been puzzled at the degree to which this thing just kept on going.
The president saying America was becoming distracted during this month's budget debate by the attention paid to his birth certificate. One of the leading voices who called for more proof, presumptive Republican presidential candidate Donald Trump, saying he's eager to see the new evidence.
I'd want to look at it, but I hope it's true, so that we can get on to much more important matters.
Trump this morning in Portsmouth, New Hampshire. The long-form birth certificate expands on an earlier document that had been labeled as Obama's certification of live birth. This is a Fox News alert.
AM 650 KGAB.
This information update on AM 650 KGAB sponsored by Frontier Orthopedic Services. Their new state-of-the-art facility at 611 East Carlson Street, Suite 115 in the Indian Hills Center behind Bresnan Communications is now open. The more you know, the better you can protect your family.
With your first news, first headlines, I'm Doug Randall. Nearly 300 Cowboy State streams, lakes, and reservoirs are included in the new Wyoming Game and Fish Department's online fishing guide, now available at the Game and Fish website. The guide lists species of fish and facilities available at the different waters, along with driving directions. Spokesman Jeff Obrecht says the fishing areas have satellite views made possible thanks to Google applications.
Combining an age-old pastime fishing and the associated information with the latest satellite computer technology and imagery.
Obrecht says the online fishing guide is an evolving project.
We've used Google applications to help anglers use our internet website and find out what fish are available in different waters and what facilities such as boat docks and outhouses and camping facilities are available at different fishing areas and across Wyoming.
Obrecht says a new print version of the Wyoming Fishing Guide should be available to anglers in May at department offices across the state. The new publication replaces the last fishing guide with
the truth and nothing but this.
You're up to date.
Sean,
I'm Doug Randall.
Hannity Morning Minute.
All right, so remember controversial appointments by the anointed one, Cass Sunstein. Animals should have attorneys. Anita Dunn, her favorite philosopher, Mao Van Jones, avowed communist, 9/11 truther. Well, now we have Reverend Wright and now a new pastor, and this church is the one that Obama attended services on Easter.
Barack's presidency does not solve the question of justice in this nation. Anytime you can have the kind of hate mongering that continues in the hallowed halls of talk radio, It shows that Barack's presidency has not solved the problem.
Is there anybody vetting over there at the White House?
Check out the Sean Hannity radio show later today, right here.
You know, Mom, it seems like ages since I was a kid, but I'll never forget all you did for me back then. You always put me first. I wouldn't be where I am today without your support. Thanks, Mom.
How are you going to thank Mom this Mother's Day? To celebrate moms everywhere, Pro Flowers is offering 100 colorful blooms for mom for just $19.99, plus a free glass vase with every order. Just visit proflowers.com, click on the microphone in the upper right corner, and enter the secret code 5000. Moms love flowers. This Mother's Day, send her 100 colorful blooms plus a free glass vase, all for just $19.99 and guaranteed to last at least 7 days. Order now because Mother's Day is almost here and this amazing offer expires Friday. The only way to get this fantastic deal is to visit proflowers.com, click on the microphone in the upper right corner, and enter the secret code 5000. That's proflowers.com, secret code 5000.
We are Cheyenne's number one news talk, AM 650 KGAV and KGAV.com.
Welcome to Wonders of Wyoming, brought to you by Why Quality Counts. Now here's a wonder that preserves the history of another wonder as participants live the life of a Wyoming cowboy. We're back with more right after this.
Did you know that 75% of brain growth happens before kids even start school? The early years are the most active for establishing brain connections. That's why quality child care matters for Wyoming's children, families, and our state.
Quality child care fuels little brains. For awareness and training info, visit whyqualitycounts.org, another great program of the Wyoming Department of Workforce Services.
This Wonder's mission is to provide the adventure and excitement of the life of a cowboy out on the trails. It's a real-life experience out on the very route that Butch Cassidy, the Sundance Kid, and the Hole-in-the-Wall gang made many times from their hideout in Hole-in-the-Wall to Thermopolis, Wyoming. Modern-day folks make the week-long journey on horseback. They camp out along the trail and live the life of another wonder, the Wyoming cowboy. It's not City Slickers the movie. This is real on the Outlaw Trail Ride. It became a reality in 1990, the brainchild of local volunteers from Hot Springs County and surrounding communities. As a fundraiser for local educational scholarships, monument construction, and many other worthy endeavors, riders from all over the world have come to step into the cowboy life of riding the trail and experiencing the wonder of the great American West on the Outlaw Trail Ride, a hands-on wonder of Wyoming. I'm Dave Walsh, proud to live in Wyoming, and proud to tell her fascinating story.
Shaquille O'Neal for Icy Hot.
If you've got pain, you need the patch.
The Icy Hot Patch. Powerful, targeted, fast-acting pain relief that stays put without the mess. Icy to dull the pain, hot to relax it away. In a variety of sizes, from back, shoulders, knees, even arthritis. So you're covered whenever and wherever you hurt. Stop pain right at the source with Icy Hot Patches.
Pain's no match for the Icy Hot Patch.
For temporary topical pain relief, use only as directed.
With so much back and forth in politics these days, it's nice to know our Senators Mike Enzi and John Barrasso are fighting for us. Last year, they voted to protect Wyoming small businesses by ending swipe fee abuse by the big banks and credit card companies. Now, some in Congress want to delay these reforms by as much as 2 years. Delaying these reforms means our small businesses will pay over $1 billion every month in hidden higher fees. One study showed that implementing swipe fee reform would allow America's small businesses to create 242,000 jobs, many of these jobs right here in Wyoming. Call Senator Mike Enzi at 307-261-6572. And Senator John Barrasso at 307-772-2451. And thank them for fighting for our small businesses by supporting swipe fee reform. Paid for by the Wyoming Retail Association.
AM 650, KGAB.
Cheyenne's weather.
It promises to be a cool and blustery day in the capital city. We'll start off with a few lingering scattered snow showers this morning. We don't expect many, but a few left over from last night will be around. Then skies will become partly cloudy, but expect it to remain very cool. Temperatures are going to remain below normal today, with highs struggling to get out of the 40s to near 50. Then we'll be on the cold side, down around 30 tonight. But the best day of the week still looks to be tomorrow. Thursday, we temporarily get a break. Sun will be out. It'll be warming to near 60 degrees or better. A nice day. But doesn't last. Fast-moving cold front will barrel in, bringing a good chance of showers late Thursday night. Good chance of showers Friday and the Saturday, and Friday and Saturday will be turning cooler once again.
You were riding mighty high in the saddle today, Tex.
Yep, getting ready for a sweet getaway at the historic Elk Mountain Hotel. Good food and hospitality shinier than your spurs.
Sounds expensive, Tex.
Nah, just $199 for the weekend. That's $95 toward a new saddle, Joe.
This is Susan at the historic Elk Mountain Hotel. Call me to reserve your anytime weekend escape, 307-348-7774 or www.elkmountainhotel.com.
Tuesday, May 3rd is National Teacher Appreciation Day.
Wyoming schools are very good, and we continue to strive every day to make great improvements. 45 of the 48 school districts' graduation rates are above the national average, and our PAS scores are improving in every grade tested.
We hope that you will use this event as an opportunity to thank a teacher on May 3rd, Teacher Appreciation Day.
And this message is paid for by the 6,500 members of the Wyoming Education Association.
There'll be a few widely scattered snow showers and clouds this morning, then becoming partly cloudy by afternoon, but cool, with an afternoon sprinkle possible. Highs will be 45 to 50, chilly tonight, lows near 30 degrees. Sunny to partly sunny and warmer. Not a bad day on Thursday, with highs around 60 to the low 60s.
All right, 8:41. We're back in the morning zone on AM 650 KGAB, Cheyenne's number one news talk. And our very special guest in studio is our loan representative in Congress, Cynthia Lummis. And Cynthia has come to talk to us today to get your input on what kind of trade-off should the Republican House be pushing for with the Democrats to agree to increase this debt ceiling they're pushing so hard for. What trade-off should we be asking for in turn? And so with that, we'll go right back to the phones. Thanks for holding. You're on the air.
Well, thank you. And first off, you know, I greatly appreciate every time one of our representatives comes on, shows how small of a state we are and how much attention they give us. That being said, Cindy, you were talking about how much you have, you know, how much reduction we need to do. How much, since you have taken office, what percentage have you reduced your spending throughout your office? How many positions have you eliminated to save money? And then, since you're also a farmer and rancher, how much of the federal subsidies and tax cuts have you given back? Or if by allowing to keep them, how many more employees have you hired on a yearly basis?
I have cut my budget 5%. All members of Congress were asked by John Boehner to cut their budgets 5%. We have, of course, complied with that. So we have incurred a budget cut in our congressional office. With regard to your questions about agricultural subsidies, I'm a cattle rancher, and cattle ranchers don't get subsidies. Subsidies are provided to some of our cash crops, and they may need to be reduced over time. I am on the agriculture subcommittee of the Appropriations Committee, among a couple of other subcommittees, and I plan on supporting cuts to our agricultural subsidies over time. I think that that's one of the necessary cuts that the nation's going to have to incur. I am just paying my taxes on April 15th, like everyone else, and it's a pretty big bite out of my paycheck, just like everyone's. But I'm so glad that in December, we were able to work out an arrangement where the tax cuts could be extended for two more years. In exchange for that, President Obama sought and received an extension of unemployment benefits. Had that not happened, I think you would have seen a sputter in our recovery, our economic recovery, and I think it's very important that we did that. Going forward, in the Ryan budget, is a provision to reduce taxes, tax rates, while eliminating a number of the exemptions and deductions. So it will broaden the base and lower the overall rate. Among the things that I've been hearing while I've been home is, why should GE pay no taxes? And quite frankly, it's wrong that GE pays no taxes, if that is in fact true. So that's where we have to close these deductions, these loopholes that sophisticated taxpayers can exploit and make it more fair. So that's one of the goals of Dave Camp and the Ways and Means Committee as they work through tax revisions that we'll be discussing this year.
All right. You're on the air. Good morning.
Good morning, Representative. Thanks a lot. I feel honored to talk to you, and I hope that I can ask a couple questions and get my thoughts together here. But up until, shamefully so, several years ago, when I started realizing what direction our country is going, I started going to little meetings, listening, local meetings about the Constitution, listening to KGAB, different talk show hosts, Fox News, and just the different radio show hosts that are very conservative, and a number of my friends are pretty, I guess, what we would call ourselves, conservative, constitutionalist, and we've noticed what seems to be, and I'd love to get your thoughts what the talk is around Congress, but, you know, back in the early 1900s, it seems like the Constitution requires the Congress to, you know, manage our money, to print it, and yet, you know, it seems like things I'm not a birther, but I've heard that term if I understand it. But, you know, I've read things and kind of sit there and digest stuff in conversations that did we give up to the Rothschilds and the Rockefellers and these big bankers the ability to what seems to be printing stuff off that Congress doesn't seem to have control over, which taxes us, and then we have the IRS that it seems like it's not constitutional, and yet we have, from what I understand, legal courts and stuff that seem to have been tainted, that support a lot of things that have happened to us. And then just one more thing, you know, the Constitution seemed to create a country that was very, one of the uniquest countries in the world, called the United States of America, founded upon the principles of freedom, personal freedoms, to me and you, the citizens that just work. And, you know, one thing is near in my heart, even in the local legislature I attended last year, about just the right to have a food freedom. And that may seem kind of foolish, but, you know, we allow tobacco to be sold, and yet we can't have raw milk. I mean, they sound stupid, but if I desire to drink raw milk and get it from my neighbor, that's illegal. And it's like, how can we be over-regulated to the point where, even coming down the line, it looks like the CDC, the USDA, the FDA, and I've listened to educated people debate and argue this thing, and I sit there and shake my head sometimes and go, where do they come up with this stuff? But the bottom line is, if I desire to smoke, I don't, but if I desire to drink raw milk, leave me alone. Mm-hmm. Why do we have to do black market into Colorado and be fearful for our rights as a free people? But thank you, and I look forward, and thank you for your time, ma'am.
Oh, you're welcome, and I appreciate the caller's thoughts. We've been in a battle for the last 100 years in this country between large government and small government, and in my opinion, it's more correct to characterize the debate in this country around that premise, small government versus large government, than it is conservative and liberal. I'm of the small government camp. I really believe that the federal government is too big, that it regulates too much, that individual freedoms need to be respected, that we've gone too far with regard to the regulation of everyday life. So I do agree with you that those are the principles that we need to be protecting, our individual freedoms, as we really prioritize in Congress what are the constitutionally designated duties of the Congress. Defend our borders, provide for the common defense, deliver the mail, and very few other specific duties, although appropriating the monies of the United States and spending the monies of the United States is one of those duties. But so many of the things we do really are better handled at the state and local level. And I believe that, having served 14 years in the Wyoming legislature, I just see the Wyoming legislature functioning so much better than the Congress, being so much more responsive to the people. The caller mentioned that he went to the Wyoming legislature and observed it. He has direct input with Wyoming legislators. That's the way we govern ourselves the best. So I'm very much sympathetic to your concerns and believe that those of us who favor smaller government need to be more assertive than ever in protecting the freedoms that the Founding Fathers envisioned for us.
All right, back to the phones. You're on the air. Good morning.
Hello, this is Tom.
This is Dave, and we are on with Cynthia Lummis.
Hey, Representative Lummis, I'm so glad you're here and taking calls. This is a great format for you to be able to contact your constituency, and I really appreciate you taking the time to do this.
Thank you for calling.
Yeah, it seems like you're asking for ways to frame the conversation and compromise with what the pushback we expect to see about the debt ceiling. And certainly that's probably one of the biggest things on the list to get back to after the Easter break. One of the things I was frustrated with and is watching Speaker Boehner go into the conversations with him. I was all excited about it, and I have an enormous amount of respect for him. I like his candor and the fire in the belly he has to get this done. But I think he already walked into that with his head handed to him on a platter. The reason is they knew, that they being the liberals side of the Democrats, knew already that they would have spent ourselves into oblivion. They knew they had about 2 years, once Barack got into office, before the country would swing back the other way. I think they were banking on this backlash. And they basically spent ourselves into oblivion to create a crisis to begin with. And now then they had this dereliction of duty by not, when they had the opportunity to come up with the budget, they had a dereliction of duty and just basically dumped it in your lap, again, banking on the backlash that once the Republicans got in charge, they would be handling last year's budget rather than this year's. And you're scratching your head, and so they have no way to even work on the things that really make a difference. So I would go back to the original argument. We've already had our heads handed to us on a platter. If you want to go back to the 2008 budget, which I think is a fantastic idea, let's go back to the 2008 budget with the exception of the bailouts. There were $800 billion in bailouts that we did. We don't need to do that now. Let's take that off the plate. That was part of the 2008 budget. Let's go back to the 2008 budgets without the TARP funding, $700 billion. Already there's $1.5 trillion. If you thought that the Democrats who put in the 2008 bill was an okay budget, you can even increase that by 5%. Without the $1.5 trillion, because obviously the stimulus bill has already taken effect. Are they going to argue against that? Probably not. Obviously, we don't need another bailout because no banks are failing right. Well, there are fewer banks failing right now. So you can take that all off the table. Start with the $1.5 trillion and then say, oh, by the way, you told us that you would you didn't like the Patriot Act, and yet you came back and said that we're getting rid of the sunset provision. There's a lot of Democrats on there that would support you on that are completely unaware that Obama made the Patriot Act permanent because it suited him at the time. Let's get rid of that altogether. If you want to restart it, that's fine, but get rid of the bad actors on it. And I like the sunset provision. If you're going to have it, get rid of the permanency of it. There's other arguments you can make to say, let's get rid of foreign aid to people that hate us. You know, why are we giving it to Venezuela, who's, you know, bound and determined to you know, get rid of us as much as we can? Why are we giving it to all but four nations in the world?
Well, a lot on the plate there for Ms. Lummis to address. So before we run out of time, let her address your comments.
Okay.
Thanks for your call.
Now, thank you very much, caller. We are talking about the 2008 budget as the budget minus TARP, minus stimulus, minus all of those add-ons. And unfortunately, those dollars are already spent. Now, in the continuing resolution compromise with the White House that John Boehner was involved in negotiating just before our Easter break, they scooped up the remainder of the unspent stimulus monies and applied that to the CR. So that was part of the what was given up. And that's why you see numbers on Fox News, such as we only saved $300 million. I know it's discouraging, but what we did do is we did really save $33 billion in the bottom line of spending for this next budget, and then we're going to cut it further. And that'll get us back to what an earlier caller was concerned about, and that is our promise to cut $100 billion out of the budget in the first year. You, caller, are correct that this hole is so deep that nibbling around the edges is not going to do it. And that's why entitlement reform really is the driver. The driver of our debt is Medicare, Medicaid, and Social Security. And we have to reform them to save them because they are the drivers of the debt. They are causing the unsustainable spending that we're incurring. I have people tell me all the time, let's just get out of Afghanistan. We spend $2 billion a week on the war in Afghanistan, $104 billion a year on the war in Afghanistan. And believe me, I'm not a smitten advocate of the war in Afghanistan. I've been to Afghanistan and I came back very disillusioned about the war and what we're doing there. But even if we got out of there today, it would only save $104 billion. And there's a $1.6 trillion difference in the amount of money we're collecting versus the amount of money we're spending. We've got to get about that number. And I appreciate the caller's knowledge and concern about this issue. And I appreciate your caller's input. This is what I hope to get today.
Wow, super. Representative Lummis, thank you again for coming by and for sharing this time with us and for giving our listeners a chance to give you some input on this. We know you got a big job to do there in Washington, and we'll be following your efforts closely and always look forward to talking with you whenever you're home and have the opportunity to talk with us. Thank you. So.
Thank you so much, Dave. And I'll be spending the next 2 weeks with Kevin McCarthy, the whip, giving Wyoming people's ideas back to Washington. So thank you for your input.